All right. Hey, guys, at all of our campuses, man, before we dive into our sermon for today, we just want to take a minute and celebrate. Can you celebrate with me, church, all of our campuses, 56 baptisms last week. All right. Hey, we praise God for that. Oh, man, just so many stories, people coming out of a lot of things, people stepping forward in obedience. Many of these people accepted Christ in our services last week. So we were just absolutely overjoyed with what God did. Y'all, it was just a move of the Spirit. It was like a top five type of weekend over the last 9 years of Mercy Hill existence. So, man, we have just been so blessed, all right, to see what God has done. It was so cool. We had some of our elders like flying around different campuses. One of our elders named Ronald, he's baptizing over at Clifton in one service, and the next thing you know, he's over regional baptizing somebody else. They're calling him Ron the Baptist from now on, okay? Which I thought was pretty good. But it was so cool. Hey, another thing that was awesome this past weekend that we got to celebrate was over 220 at the Northeast Campus launch. Can we praise God for that too? Man, this was so cool, y'all, to see the church family come together. Y'all, the generosity of God's people, everybody to open their hands. And man, we've been able to take this facility to kind of do the whole renovation and then to launch something for that community that really included many of the people from the Northeast Baptist Church. All right, we had an awesome picture with many of them, and it was cool to see them come in. Y'all, the church is supposed to look like a family. That means little kids all the way through grandparents. What a cool thing. Hey, there had not been a baptism at Northeast Baptist in over 5 years, okay? And now we have been able to see two baptisms over there last weekend, including one incredible story. I want you guys to see Emerson, okay? Emerson was the first baptism we've ever done at the Northeast campus. And this is a cool story because she's being baptized by her dad, Adam. And Adam was one of the original 30 folks that moved from Raleigh-Durham over here to plant Mercy Hill Church, okay? He was one of that original crew. He was one of the 10 college students that was included in that original 30. And I just thought about that, and I thought, man, if years ago you would have asked, you know, you would have asked Adam when he moved, man, would you be baptizing your daughter at the launch of a new campus? You know, God can see things that we can never see coming. You know what I mean? And I think about even some of our folks at Northeast. Some of you guys, man, y'all hung with us. Man, you've opened your hands in a big way. And now to be able to see what the Lord is doing over there, it's just an incredible time. Guys, it was a great weekend. I think it's right and good for us to celebrate that. And so before I dive into my sermon, I'm going to go ahead and pray and just pray a prayer of thanksgiving for what we have seen God do. Father, in our church, Lord, we continually praise you and pray for more for what you are doing. God, we thank you for expansion. We thank you for new work being done. We thank you for new parts of our county that we can reach. Guilford County here that can be reached. And Father, we pray that you'll help us move in as time goes on to further into High Point and more into Winston. And God, we just pray that you'll continue to expand your reach here through this church. Father, it's for your name. It's for your glory. God, but it is to our joy, and you're allowing us to see your goodness in the land of the living. And so we thank you for these folks from last week, and we thank you for the ones we're going to see this week. Maybe come forward as well. And God, we thank you for the launch of the new campus. So we just praise you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, hey, guys, man, just a great weekend last weekend, but we maybe want to jump back into our sermon series that we have been in. So if you have a copy of scripture, you could take it out. You guys can turn with me to the book of Matthew is where we are going to be. If you haven't been with us, or maybe if last week was your first time, let me catch you up to sort of where we're going and what we've been talking about. What we've been talking about in this series, Made for More, is just this kind of idea that spiritual growth is not easy, but it's also not complicated, all right? So sometimes we think we make things way too complicated. It's like, man, it's not complicated. Saying something is simple is not the same thing as saying that it's easy, but it is saying, man, it's not that complex. Spiritual growth really has, you know, there's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of things you could say about it. But man, a big chunk of spiritual growth in our life happens in four steps. And we've been given different examples for this. I'll give you another example for this. I think about one thing that maybe is not easy, but it's not complicated, is strengthening your body. You think about athletes, you think about many of our students and high school students and all that, they play ball or whatever. Strengthening your body, gaining muscle, it's not easy in any way, all right? But it's also not that complicated. Man, you go in, you warm up, You stress your muscles by lifting heavy things, okay? You take a little bit of rest between sets, and then you try to really cool down and stretch afterward. It's not that hard. It's not that easy. It's not that easy, but it is complicated, right? I know it's also not very easy, because you're talking to a guy who broke both of his arms in high school in an unfortunate weightlifting accident. That's not a joke, okay? My dad comes running over and says, "Hey, man, you're okay." And I'm like, "Dad, my arm looks like an S." And he said, "We're going to the emergency room." So I know that it's not the easiest thing, okay? But it's also not complex, trying to strengthen your body or work out or spiritual, health, physical health, sleeping. These are the things, financial health. These are the examples that we have used, okay? Spiritual health is in the same vein. I can give it to you in 3 or 4 steps, all right? Gather, groups, give, go. If we commit to gather, groups, give, go, I am not saying that that's all that there ever will be in terms of growth. What I am saying is that if you commit to those things, you will go far down the road. But here is kind of where we're at, and I want to give you a little bit of a visual with this, okay? Because let's just think, about the flywheel, all right? You guys, I've already said it once, so you guys aren't going to be able to read that, because I can only read half of what I write. But you guys can kind of, you understand from your memory, right? Gather groups, give, go. This is the situation that the church, not just Mercy Hill, I promise you, finds ourselves in, okay? We look back at what we see God do in Acts chapter 2. We've read it every single week. We know, I'm not saying this is all that there ever is to Christian growth, but man, if this is all that anybody ever committed to, and by committed to, I don't mean like put your toes in the water, okay? I don't mean check a little box. I don't mean just kind of trying to nod to it. I'm talking about going all the way to the bottom with these things. If we will do these things, not only will you grow, but the church will grow. We're going to get into that as the series continues. But here's the problem, not just at Mercy Hill, but really in any church you go to. As people move around the flywheel, what do you think happens? What happens is this, man, people don't make these turns, all right? So I want you to imagine kind of a merry-go-round right here, all right? A lot of people are in gather, and by the time they get to group, some kind of way in this turn, they got messed up, and they didn't make the turn. Less people group than gather. Less people give than group. And unfortunately, less people go than give. As we move around the merry-go-round, we end up kind of losing people along the way. And what I want to do in this series is try to tell you, all four of these are, they're not easy, okay? But all four of these are essential for your Christian growth. And if they're essential for your Christian growth, then what a shame that we would have more gather than group, and more group than give, and more give than go. You see what I'm saying? We need to lean into all of them. So today, we've talked about gather and group. Today, we're going to talk about giving. Here's the big idea. If we want to be serious about growing, we have got to be serious about our giving, okay? Our giving is tied to our hearts. Our treasure and our heart is deeply connected. Too many of us, and this is kind of, I know this is a little bit deep right out of the gate, but here it is, okay? Too many of us say that we want to have a heart set on heaven, but we are unwilling to let go of our treasure set on earth. Like what we want to say is like, yeah, I want to grow. Like I want my heart, I want to grow spiritually, and I want to get better. I want to grow in my relationship with God. My heart is set on heaven, but the reality is our treasure is set on earth. And when our treasure is money and possessions and the next toy and the next vacation and the security that we feel from having money, then what's going to happen is our heart is going to kind of be drugged, and it will get all wrapped up in the things that our treasure is wrapped up in. If we want to be serious about Christian growth, and there 40 steps, okay? We're talking about 4, all right? Not 40, but 4. If we want to be serious about our growth, then we need to be serious about our giving as well. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to walk through this passage. We're just going to talk about it, and then I'll get towards the end, and I'll give us one big application point, and that'll be our time together today, all right? Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right? In this series, we're kind of jumping around the scripture, so let me try to orient you to where you are. Matthew chapter 6 is one of Jesus Christ's greatest hits. Okay? It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the big one. Okay? It's the one everybody talks about. Everybody remembers. People have been talking about this sermon for 2,000 years. I think the point of the sermon is probably something like, hey man, righteousness and holiness and what I actually want for your life is bigger than you could ever imagine. Okay, I think that's kind of the point. But part of it in Matthew chapter 6 that we get into is this idea of trust of whose kingdom we're living for. And what does Jesus go after when he starts talking about what kingdom we're living for? Who do we trust? All of that, y'all, he goes directly after money. He goes directly after treasure, okay? There is something about talking about treasure that gets us to see what kingdom we're actually living for. Now, what does he say? He starts by saying in verse 19, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because treasures on earth can be destroyed or stolen. They are temporary. You could say it like this: temporal wealth, worldly wealth, things related to this world, temporal wealth is temporary wealth. As it relates to this world, all of our wealth, all of our treasure, all of our possessions, they have an hourglass to them, okay? They are running out. There is a stopwatch that is counting down, okay? There is something about the wealth. Now, what's interesting is he doesn't say that wealth is bad, okay? And because it's not. He doesn't say that treasures are bad, because they're not. What he's saying is be careful where you store them if you want them to last, okay? I think about this if you've ever gardened before. I don't know if any of you guys have ever gardened before, but if you garden, one cool thing about potatoes is that potatoes don't need any type of refrigeration. Potatoes don't need any type of real preservation. If you take potatoes and you put them in a pantry or something, the bottom floor of a pantry where it's pretty cool and it's dark and it's not damp, they'll stay there for months. Could be even years, okay, without any kind of preservation. Now, the thing about the potato is, if you take it out of something like that and put it in something like, I don't know, a bag that's all sealed up where there's no air, and you stick it in a car where it's really hot and the sun's beating down on it or whatever, it'll spoil kind of like that, all right? The idea is this: treasure stored in this life will spoil very, very quickly. You got to put treasure in the right place if you want it to last. Treasure put in the wrong place is begging to be destroyed. Treasure put in the wrong place will diminish. It will not be very durable. It will not last. Now, Christian, we just got to stop for 1 minute, and we just got to acknowledge that Jesus Christ has taken maybe the single greatest driver in Western culture, I mean, the philosophical thought, and he has said, hey, I put it under attack. It's absolutely wrong and backwards. Because what do we think many times? Man, the world says lay up treasure here, and Jesus is saying lay up treasure there. All right? The world says consume, man, get as much as you can. I mean, we live in a society, y'all, we live in the wealthiest nation on the face of the planet that is also the most credit card indebted. How can that even happen? I want you to think about it. What we do, I read an article this week, 71% of people in America say, man, they would like to give more, but they can't because of how much debt they are in. I want you to think about that. Now, you know what the point of this sermon is about giving. The whole point is going to be, man, if we give, we end up storing up treasure in heaven rather than on earth, right? But what people are saying is, I can't give, store up treasure in heaven, because I'm too indebted on this earth. We've taken everything that we have. That wasn't enough, so we went and borrowed to double down on trying to get the treasure and possession here. And experiences and all that, things that money can buy here. A lot of times we live in a culture that has doubled down, and you and I, man, we're in this culture. We breathe this culture. It's such a consumer culture. Talking about money, thinking about money, going to bed at night, wondering how much money we can make the next day. Man, the worries about, am I gonna have enough money, flooding our life. On the other side, so many people that have so much money, a glut of money, that they end up kind of being consumed with what they're going to buy for themselves next with the money that they have. We think about something all the time. What is Jesus saying to us here? He's saying, man, we can consume so much of our life with something that is so evidently perishable. It is perishing before our very eyes. And yet we can have so much of our life consumed by it. The world says, man, store it here. And Jesus is saying, no, send it on, store it somewhere else. You know, evidently people buy into this so much. Maybe even in the church, we buy into it as well. We see Jesus here saying something very radical. And that is, man, I hope it shakes us a little bit. I think maybe some questions are, man, hey, are you accumulating wealth in this world like it will last? It will not last. Man, is that what we're after? So that's the first part of this, okay? He tells us in classic Jesus fashion, all right, not this, we're going to do this. So he says, not this, right? Not this, don't store it where it can't last. And then he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, let's talk about where we should store it. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. What Jesus is doing, he does this a lot. He said, man, not this way, but we're going to do it this way. What is Jesus getting at? All right, he's saying this: lasting treasure isn't found on earth. Many times, and we do this every weekend, okay? I want you to hear this. Man, many times at Mercy Hill, we tie the impetus for giving and that kind of idea of our generosity to the mission, which is great, okay? If you listen to our offering every single week, we have an offering moment every week, and we do something like this every single week. We say, hey, man, let's talk about vision. Let's celebrate something. Let's say, man, we launched a new campus, right? And we say, hey, man, we got 2 baptisms at the campus, a couple hundred new people, a lot of new faces, 14 first-time guests at the new campus this weekend. And then what do we say? Every week, you guys hear it. We say, hey, it wouldn't happen without your generosity, because that's true. The generosity of the church takes a vision about as far as it's going to go. We say that every week. Then we do something called the vision gap. And what that is we say, hey, look what happened. Now let's all imagine together, if we had more resources, what else could we do? How many more campuses? How many more churches? How many more missionaries? We do that every single week. I think it's good. I think it's right. We tie this stuff to the mission. But here's what I want you guys to see here, okay? While it's good and right to think about kingdom dollars and kingdom investment and see the return on that, just like we see with Northeast and planting churches and all this kind of stuff, there is another couple of motivations here for our giving. This is weird to say in a church. They are way more you-centered. Okay, it's way more about you and your spiritual life. This is a little bit counterintuitive. Man, one of the most popular Christian books that ever was, The Purpose-Driven Life, the first sentence, it's not about you. What's funny is Jesus gives us a motivation about giving, and it's absolutely about you. It's about your joy. It's about the best life that you can live. It's about his glory and your joy being all wrapped up together. It is about you. So we tie it to the mission a lot, which is good, but there's another couple of motivations here. Here's the first one, okay? There is an account for the next life that is being funded by our generosity in this life. Now, somebody said, hey, I want you to write a position paper on this and totally explain it. I absolutely couldn't, okay? And the reason that I couldn't is because there are allusions to this in the scriptures, but there's not a real systematic theology of this in the scriptures, okay? So we see what Jesus said here. He said, hey man, don't store wealth here, store it there. The implication is there's some kind of connection between what we do here and the heavenly bank account there, right? I'll give you another example of this in 1 Timothy. So here's what he says in 1 Timothy. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. I know I've lost some of you guys, because you think, oh, this is written to the rich. You got to realize, man, a lot of the world lives on $2 a day. Okay, so I mean, for most of us here, I mean, we're sort of falling under this. Look what he says in verse 18. They are to be, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Listen, thus storing up treasure for themselves. Storing it up where? Man, this is very similar to what Jesus says. Storing up treasure for them as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. It is clear as day, doing good, rich in good works. Something about generosity is interwoven with our heavenly wealth. There is a sense in which Jesus in this passage is trying to get us to see it is in our own self-interest that we would not hoard like the world says, but yet we would want to give. The idea is that we can't take it anyway. It's not good for us anyway. It's going to diminish. It's not going to be durable. We should see something here that is really for us. You know, the theological way to say this is Christian hedonism, okay? Hedonism is a lot of times is thought about with pleasures. Like, man, we're just like chasing pleasure in the world or whatever. Man, Christian hedonism is this idea of, hey, what is actually going to be the deepest joy you can have in life, and chase that with everything that you can? Man, your deepest joy in life is directly connected to God's glory. God's glory, his plan for your life, and your deepest joy are very connected. So in a sense, it's kind of weird to hear this in a sermon. Man, go seek what is the very best thing for you. Now, many times that takes denying ourselves and picking up our cross, okay? But seeking what is very best for you is throwing yourself into God's glory. man, his plans for your life. And one of the things we see in this passage is this: his plans for your life entail you storing up treasure in a place where it never rusts or molds or is stolen. You can say it like this: y'all, you can't take it with you, Randy Alcorn says, but you can send it on ahead. So if you can send it on ahead, then seek what is best for your heavenly bank account. Jim Elliot, the famous martyr that died to reach the Wadani, in South America. Man, what was his famous quote? He said, "He was no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose." And that's all that Jesus is kind of getting at here. He's saying, hey man, you store it here, rust, stolen, moth-eaten, destroyed. It's not durable. It diminishes. All right, but if you send it on ahead, man, it will be there for all eternity. Now look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, okay? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I told you, man, leveraging your life for the mission, kingdom investment, the way we think about our offering spotlight, hey man, here's the mission, don't you wanna be a part? All great, all good, awesome, okay? But in this passage, there's two really kind of you-centered, for your own best interest, man, go after it and give big. The first one is just what we've been talking about, y'all. Man, wouldn't you want to store wealth? If you're going to have treasure, man, don't have a diminishing treasure. Have a durable treasure, okay? That's the first thing. But the second thing is a little more like this. Man, giving for the kingdom is for the heart, not just from the heart, okay? The second thing is, man, that your Christian life grows more when your heart is tied to the mission. When your heart gets tied into the mission, then you will begin to grow in a way that you never thought. The flywheel, right? This is where we get into the flywheel. It's like, man, gather for growth, group for growth, give. I think we naturally think to ourselves, yeah, we give for the mission. Of course you naturally think that. What do we say all the time? We say, man, your generosity fuels the mission. That's right. That's good. But there's another aspect here. Man, we give because in our giving, our heart is tied into what God is doing. And as our heart is tied into what God is doing, y'all, we get so invested. Have you ever wondered why, like, I stand up and I say, hey, man, we saw 56 baptisms, and there are some people that gut level from their heart shout and praise and clap and say amen. Do you know why they do that from their heart? Because their heart has been tied to the mission many times because of their treasure. They've given, they've invested. Skin in the game changes the game, okay? Like when we're in, it changes the way we view everything about the church. That's why there are many people that can gather and group, but the problem is they're still thinking to themselves, what's in it for me? You know, I'm a little bit loose here. Man, they don't do the things that I want them to do there, and people kind of can bounce around and float. When people begin to give, it ties their heart into the mission in a way that it never was, and they begin to grow, all right? So it's a little bit different, okay? You know, I think when we read this, we think, man, where your treasure is, it says there your heart will be also. A lot of times our heart leads our giving, right? And that's not bad, but sometimes that can be a little warm fuzzies. You know, I remember when I was in third grade, they brought in the Adopt a Manatee program, okay? Did they do that in North Carolina? They do it in Florida, okay? And you know how it is, very sad. Oh, I mean, they're doing the whole thing. It's always the arms of the angel song, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. And it's like, and you're really, you're and it's like, oh man, you feel real sad, and you want to, you know, adopt a manatee and all that stuff. I remember in third grade, I was still way too analytical, and I started firing a bunch of questions then about how I could go see my manatee and all that. They couldn't answer them. I figured it was a fraud, okay? But so I didn't do it. But I'm just saying, you guys have all been there, right? Where it's like, man, you know, you see something, your heart's a little bit, man, warm fuzzies can lead us into some giving. I understand that. This is a little bit of a different deal, okay? This is not warm fuzzies leading us into giving. What he's getting at here is that our giving doesn't lead us into warm fuzzies. It leads us into further connection. It leads us into deep spiritual commitment. You know, I've said this before. It's like, man, a lot of people say, well, I'm not gonna worship until I really feel like I want to worship. Well, a lot of times the best way to begin to feel like you want to worship is to stick your hands in the air and sing at the top of your lungs. It's funny how sometimes our actions lead our feelings a little more than our feelings lead our actions. Like we can be led to the throne. Like we can obey our way into our heart being warmed. Now God's got to do the work, I understand that. But man, there is obedience things here and God has them. Man, all of these spiritual disciplines are a fruit on one side, but they are a tether on the other. They keep our hearts tied in to what God is doing. You've heard me say this before. You know the people in the world that love to run? You know what they're called? They're called runners, okay? They love it. I mean, you know, I love to run too. If I'm being chased by like a bear or something, I'm fine with running. But like get up in the morning, my wife will get up in the morning, Wednesday mornings, her thing is, and she's kind of superwoman, I know, but 5 a.m, she's out the door going to a track workout where they're running miles and all this stuff. And I'm just like, why? You know, it's very hard to understand. But she loves to run. You know how somebody gets in a place where they love to run? They go running a lot. And the first time that they ever went running, they probably didn't love it. You know, the second time, they probably didn't love it. There's probably even times if they get out of the habit that they're like, man, I don't really want to get up early and go do that. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But as they continue to do it, it sort of ties their heart into it. Giving what he says here is the same way. He says, man, it's not about warm fuzzies. When I feel the mood, I'll tip God. It's this idea of, hey, where your treasure is, your heart will be tied and you will begin to grow. So big application point this weekend, y'all, is grow by giving. People say, you know, that spiritual growth is not one size fits all. I've heard that. Man, people say, man, there's absolutely no formula to spiritual growth. I think I told you guys before, man, that's not right. There is a formula. I'm not saying that gather groups, give, go is all there ever is that you ever need in your Christian life. I am saying that if we commit wholeheartedly and get all the way in on these, man, then we will move. And one of them that has, listen, less people group than gather, okay? And less people give than group. So some kind of way right in here, there's a turn that happens and some people go flying off, you know, the merry-go-round. And it's like what I'm calling out to you to do is to say, man, hang on right here and see what God does in your life. Now, how do you do that? That's the question, right? Well, as everything at Mercy Hill is, man, let's be motivated by grace, not fear. I want us to think about the gospel deeply for a minute and think to ourselves, man, let's ask the question. Y'all, I'm calling you today. I'm challenging myself, calling you. Hey, let's store up our treasure in heaven. All right, well, let's think about who ultimately paid the price to lay his treasure in heaven. Who is the one that ultimately in generosity came down to move? I mean, think about it. Before we're ever called to put our treasure in heaven, Jesus Christ died to put us in heaven. We were his treasure. Man, we were his joy. I mean, think about this. Hebrews 12. Therefore, I'm actually going to go to verse 2. Look what it says. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Listen, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Man, it was hard for him to be generous with his life. But as he was generous with his life, there was something that was joyous. Why I say it was hard for him to be generous with his life? You don't think the cross is hard? Man, you don't think Calvary is hard? It's very hard. Man, but there is a deep joy. And you and I were the joy. Man, the joy that was set before him. The joy of reconciling humanity to the Father. Man, the joy of canceling our sin debt. Man, the joy of giving us an opportunity to walk in the newness of life. Man, this is a deep joy. And Jesus has come and exhibited incredible amounts of generosity for us. And now it gives us the opportunity to generate incredible amounts of generosity in our life. So my question is this, like, man, if we see what Jesus has done for us, we were his treasure. He stored us up in heaven. Man, do we at least want to store our treasure up in heaven this very weekend and begin to do that? Man, I hope that you do, all right? I want to introduce you guys to a tool that we use here at Mercy Hill. It's called the Generosity Pathway, all right? And you guys see the Generosity Pathway and the idea here, and I want to make sure this is very clear, okay? The idea here is in the middle, you see that thing that says tithe. Man, we teach on the tithe here at Mercy Hill, first fruits giving. Man, 10% of our income. This is the floor, not the ceiling, okay? So be very clear. At Mercy Hill, when we're talking about what God is calling us to, he is calling us to the tithe as a starting place, all right? Now, that doesn't mean that's where everybody can take their first step. I mean, I would call you to do that, but I think some people might just look at that and just go, man, I could never do that or whatever. Well, then I'm gonna call you maybe in another way to say, well, you need to at least take some kind of step today. even if you can't go there. So let me talk to a few different groups of people, and this will be our time together, okay? Number one, for some of you that are here today, man, you are absolutely fueling the mission and fueling your Christian growth. God is doing it because you're leaning in to gather groups and give. And I just want to call out to you, and I just want to say, man, keep on, man, long obedience in the same direction. Keep leaning in. You know, if that's where you are and you're like, man, we think about generosity, like we think about it as something we want to increase. We think about it as being a big part of our life. If you're like me, about every 2 years, I write a 10-year plan for myself, okay? I'm like, man, I want to see, where do I want to be in 10 years, you know? And maybe some of you guys do that. And one of the boxes on that 10-year plan every single time is, how much do we want to have given away? Man, what number can we hit? Some of you are like that, and if you are, your heart is tied up in the mission here, and you're experiencing that joy. And I would call out to you today, and I would just say, brother or sister, man, keep on keeping on. Man, I know sometimes it can feel like a journey. It can feel like a long race. It is a long race. Long obedience in the same direction. Man, experience the joy that comes with having your heart tied to the mission of God in this way. Second group of people, okay? There's another group of people here that are like, man, I am brand new to this. I mean, I literally was baptized last weekend or maybe over the summer. You know, man, praise God. We've already hit. We wanted to double the amount of baptisms that we saw in 2020, you know, the year of the great shutdowns and all that kind of stuff. And by God's grace, over this past weekend, we've already doubled the amount of baptisms we had in 2020. We're praising God for that. You may have been in that number. You may be new to this whole thing. And your posture today is like, man, I want to lean into whatever these are because I want to grow spiritually. Man, I want to get in. You just signed up for a group. Hey, the next step for you is to lean into giving, okay? Get on the generosity pathway some kind of way. Man, you can get on the generosity pathway by signing up to give a $20 gift once a month, reoccurring, $10 gift, whatever it is. It opens up a bunch of discipleship opportunity for you. Like when you sow in and say, man, I'm in that way, man, you begin to get vision quarterly. Man, you begin to get other resources. Your heart will start getting tied up. I promise you, if you begin to give in a regular way at Mercy Hill, the next time you see something like a student center launch or a baptism or whatever it is, you're going to celebrate in a new way. You're going to celebrate in a different way because you got skin in the game, and skin in the game changes the game. Hey, others of you in here, I got four groups. This is the third group, all right? Others of you in here are maybe at Clifton or at High Point or at Northeast today. What you're thinking to yourself is, man, I want to do that. I can't do that. You're like, dude, no one has ever discipled us in this stuff. Man, our finances are a mess. We don't know what's coming or going. I mean, we get into, you know, maybe you're married and you're thinking to yourself today, like, man, every couple of weeks we're getting into, you know, arguments and fights and all this kind of stuff about, like, man, no one has ever taught us any of these things. If we had margin, we would give. Then let us help you be discipled into margin. All right. And then the Proverbs is so clear. Only a fool devours all that they have. Like, we all are called to live with margin, okay? Now, we can help with that. I'll give you a good resource for this, okay? Finance 101 is a good opportunity. You guys can go and find this right here. This is a class that's going to start at the end of September, taught by the elders of our church, taught by our stewardship team and all of that. I want you to think Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University, in about 4 weeks. I want you to think it's that, but light, okay? We're going to launch Financial Peace again in January. This is a good bridge for us. Man, sign up for this. If you're a young married couple, you need to be in this if you've never done anything like this, okay? So that you can be able to give and have your heart tied to the mission. Hey, but fourth and final group, all right? Some of you guys here today, I've already mentioned this. You're like, man, we're sort of on the fence. Like, we're not really bought in. Man, we've bounced around. Look, let's just be honest. We've bounced around churches. You know, we keep trying to get in and we start some things here. Maybe our students go a little bit and maybe we tried a small group, whatever. But we're just never in. We can't ever get all the way in. And man, I hear this all the time. It comes up, man, we feel like we're not being fed or we feel like we're not. There's a lot of things pastors hear, okay? And a lot of times it's just like, man, we just don't feel like we're all the way in. Now, this is a paradigm shift, okay? Because for some of you, if that's where you are, and you're at Mercy Hill and you're still trying to give it a shot, then what I want you to hear is this. Some of you think, man, we're not in, we can't get in. And so if I were to ask you, hey, are you gonna give a tithe? I mean, are you gonna work toward tithing, giving to Mercy Hill? Here's what you might say. You might say, well, no, we're not gonna do that. because I just told you we're not really that committed. Here's what you think. What you think is, if we were more committed, we would begin to give. Church, what if you aren't committed because you don't give? Does that make sense? Like we look at it and what we think is, if I was committed, then of course I would give. And it's like, man, what if the Bible is trying to flip that thing on its head and show you, no, that's backwards. It's like you're trying to do the commitment before the giving. That's not how it works. Spiritual growth is like the giving will tie your heart and commit you in a way maybe that you've never seen. Because he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Church, today I want you to know this. Man, from the bottom of my heart, some of you don't know me. All you got to do is make a judgment whether I'm you know, legit and real or not. But I'm just going to tell you, this is not about the bottom line today. It's not about a soundbite. It's not about guilt. It's not about shame. It's not about my lifestyle changing a bit, because it won't. It's not about any of those things. I promise you that. That's all I can say. Either you trust it or don't. What it's about is your spiritual growth. Because as you grow, then we will all begin to grow. Our church can grow, but not if the individuals aren't growing. Man, the giving is about you growing. Giving grows you by tying your heart to the mission of God, okay? So my call to you today, and I crunched a bunch of numbers this week. I mean, we crunched numbers. I had our stewardship team looking at this, all that. I think there is, if the Spirit of God would move like he did last week, stand up, draw the line, and say, hey, look, either we're gonna play around or we're not. I don't know about you guys, but for me, man, this whole thing of the last 18 months with COVID has told me, like, man, the time is short. There's no time for playing around. So if the Spirit will move this week like it did, like he did last week, okay? Now what I think should happen, I think about 200 singles and families should step over the line in our church and give maybe for the very first time. And maybe you've given before. I've thrown a 20 in the plate in cash or whatever. I'm talking about getting online. I'm talking about going online and signing up. Hey, say, man, I'm gonna do a reoccurring commitment for $10, whatever it is. I don't care if it's $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever it is. It's like, man, I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna sign up because I'm gonna tie my heart to the mission. I think there ought to be about 200 new families and singles that go that route. I'm talking about college students. Man, do $1, do $5. Tie your heart to the mission of God. And some of our high school students, Pastor Gary said it like this, hey, if you get paid, you should give. It's like, it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old, 20 years old, whatever it is. It's like, it ties your heart to the mission of God. So I think that's what we ought to see today. Man, it's not about changing the budget or it's not about those things today, y'all. It's about the body of Christ. I mean, I want you guys to kind of think about this. It's like, you think about the budget, all right? If somebody signed up to give $100 a year, $10 a month, $120 a year, whatever, y'all, the budget's $7 million, okay? I'm not calling you to give something because it's gonna boost. What I'm saying is, man, it's not about changing the budget. It's about changing the body. It's about changing all of us. There will be a palpable level of excitement and energy and growth in this place as more people begin to step in, because that's how God has designed it. The more people that gather, the more people that group, the more people that give. Their heart is tied to the mission in a brand new way. Excitement will begin to grow. That's what we're after, right? We're after growth. Why? Because we were made for more. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. And Lord, we pray right now, God, that you would move. Father, I do pray, Lord, that we would have family discussions around tables where we just look at each other and say, no shame or guilt. God, move in our church. Allow fathers to sit down with their family. God, allow college students to confess to one another. No shame or guilt, not looking back. We need to take a step in this direction. We need to drive a stake in the ground. Either we're in or we're out. And if we're in, it looks like gather groups give go. So what are we gonna do? God, I pray that that discussion, Lord, would move in our church hundreds of times over. And Father, I pray that we would see hundreds of families go from the sideline to the front line as they step in to give. In Christ's name we pray, amen.